Amen. God is wonderful, and I'm glad that everybody's in the house of the Lord tonight. God's got a lot of great things in store for us. Quickly, there is a garbage big dumpster that we're bringing on our campus on Friday. It'll be here Friday and Saturday. Some of you men can help out. We're going to throw some stuff into that dumpster and see Brother Frank. He's going to ramrod that for me. But we've got mattresses that should not be here and things like that. We're going to throw them away and just stuff that we don't need. So if you can help in that facet, I would deeply appreciate that. We want to clean up the house of God, make everything look right. Amen. Yes, Brother Garcia. Thank you. Friday and Saturday or just Friday? Friday, what time? 1 p.m. or 1 a.m.? 1 p.m. Amen. He just said 1 o'clock. I don't know. He's an early bird. He's an early riser. Amen. But thank you, Brother Garcia. I'm telling you, if we'll get out there and spread the word. If we're not going, we're not growing. We got to get, the grow is in the go. Amen. That's why the Bible says, go ye into all the world. You got to go. Amen. So please, every facet, every ministry, every department should be getting a hold of outreach, inreach, and all of that good stuff. But if you can, be with Brother Garcia at 1 o'clock on Friday. Spread the word in Jesus' name. Got a special speaker tonight, and I'm excited for him. Amen. Brother William Ramos is a blessing to an Abundant Life Center, a blessing to the kingdom of God, blessing to my life personally. And I'm looking forward to hearing from the Word of God. I know last Sunday morning we did a tag team duo, and I thought he was just going to take over in Espanol. I just tried to talk faster and talk louder in English, but he just kept going. He just interpreted. Amen. But I love him dearly. Would you give it up for Brother Ramos as he comes to preach the Word of God? God bless you, bro.
You may be seated. What I'm going to read is a little lengthy, so. I thank God for the opportunity. I thank Pastor for allowing me to speak. You know, it's not very easy. But I've had this. And they basically almost, just right now, the announcement that they did with Brother Manuel and Brother... They said what I was going to say. It's been since Pastor challenged us when we were the leaders for this year. And the year of the harvest, the year of the turnaround. And not only that, it's just Pastor's vision when he came up and we changed these banners a couple years ago. It's our mission to love and to serve. That's the title of what I'm going to speak about. Our mission. It's our mission. It's my mission as an individual. It's your mission as a member of this church. But it's our mission as a body of Christ. Because we are many parts. We are one body. We each do different things. And I'm going to be reading from the book of Luke. And this is going to be in the Amplified. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. And it reads as follows, verse 10. Now after this, the Lord chose and appointed 70 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to come or visit. And he said unto them, the harvest indeed is abundant. That means there is much ripe grain, but the farmhands are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And verse 3 goes, go your way. Behold, I send you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no provision bag, no change of sandals. Refrain from retarding your journey by saluting and wishing anyone well along the way. And it says, whatever house you enter, first say, peace be to this household. That means freedom from all the distresses that result from sin within that family. And if anyone worthy of peace and blessedness is there. The peace and blessedness you wish shall call upon him. But if not, it shall come back to you. And stay on in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. Whenever you go into a town and they receive and accept and welcome you, eat what is set before you and heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come close to you. But whenever you go into a town, they do not receive and accept and welcome you. Go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to my feet, we are wiping off against you. Yet know and understand this, the kingdom of God has come near you. That's pretty lengthy there. But there's some few key verses in that. And one thing that our mission statement as a church, loving people and serving the world, is the same as what Jesus said when he left. The commission that he gave, not only his disciples, but us. You find it in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you. It says, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, on some occasions, on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Now, a disciple is somebody who accepts and he assists in spreading the doctrine. Now, our mission, it's not just for the best of the best, because we weren't that. It's not for the professionals. It's not to those that are scholars in the Bible. It's not a club that you can come into. It's not a fraternity. It's not a clique. It's not that. But it doesn't matter if you've been in this all your life or if you just started the other day. It doesn't matter. Because there's only one thing that needs to be done, whether you've been this 30 years, 40 years, 20 years, one day. When we came in, we did one thing. We came in, and all it's asking was for us to give it to him all that we have, to give him our all. And that's all it is, simply as that. You give him your all. Because in Romans 12, verse 2, we know that verse that says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. By what? The renewing of your mind. When we made the decision, the commitment, and if you haven't got there yet, when you make that commitment and that decision to follow Christ, all of a sudden, once you've been baptized in the name of Jesus and you receive the Holy Ghost, that has changed from what you were conformed to now what you're going to be conformed. You're transformed. Your mind is renewed. And once you give it to your all, you've been transformed. When you get into him, when all that happens, not only is your mind renewed, but you're set free. I said, you're set free. He sets you free. You're forgiven. You're adopted into Christ's family. And you're blessed. But then he's going to send you out. It says, when you come into Christ, and I don't want to scare anybody that hasn't given their life to Christ, but I'm telling you, there's far away more rewards than there is. Why you go through a lot of stuff, and I'm not, so you can know what we go through, why we go through it. And it says, we'll be sent into rejection. Sometimes that's why we're so scared to go out and talk to people. But the Bible says that's what he sent us to do. No matter if you get rejected or you get accepted. That's our what he commissioned us to do. Yeah, when we step out of here and we go out there, we're going to face a lot of pain. A lot of pain, a lot of hurt. A lot of situations where we love and serve people, but some of them are just going to reject it. We're going to end up heartbroken, and our service was no good to them. But once you're transformed, you're sent. There's no other options, alternatives. We can't just sit around. We can't just stand by and watch. We can't. See, I don't know where some people are at. I don't know if you're standing on the edge and looking to see the other people working. Or if you're standing there watching, but don't know, what can I do? I'm not as important as them. I'm here to tell you, everybody is important in the work of God. Everybody has their place. And if you can't find it, you're going to try something. If that's not working out for you, you try something else. But God is going to show you the purpose that he has you here for. Because he didn't bring you in here just to leave you alone, to wonder, what can I do? I can't do that because I'm not that important. I'm not that smart. But when God transformed you, he gave you a new mind. But he says, go out and find what you can do. And what you do it with your might, with your soul. But we begin our lives in Christ once we have been transformed. And we gain things. You gained a lot of stuff that Christ gave you. And he gave us a lot of tools to go out and reach the lost. To go out and reach our family. Yeah, some of them are going to reject us. But we keep going. But we can't leave those tools and just put them aside. He gave us his word. He gave us a pastor. He gave us your brother and your sister who you can go to get encouraged and be an encouragement. He gave us all that when we were adopted into the family of Christ. The mission is for everyone. You know, sometimes we have the mentality, when you get that mentality, when they say mission, we think about missionaries. But that's just one part of it. But it's for everybody. So, well, it's not for me. It's just, I'm just an ordinary person. God hasn't called me to go out to a country. You step out these doors, you're in the field. That's our field right there. Tulare, the city of Tulare. And go beyond that. Beyond the borders of the county. This is our, we don't have to go 1,000 miles. All we have to do is step out this door right here, and you're already in it. You're going to see somebody just walking in front of the church right there. There goes a soul that we can talk to and share the gospel. And sometimes, well, what can I do? Now, verse 17 says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Now it says, the 70. Can somebody name one of the 70? Can you tell me their name, at least one of them? These weren't part of the 12 disciples. He sent 70. But their names are not even mentioned. But they came back and said, we cast out demons in your name. Now, their name should have got mentioned. These were people that Jesus sent himself. They weren't part of the 12. They weren't part of the 3. If you read the chapter before, Jesus and the 3 that went up. We don't even know their names. But he sent them out pairs by pair, two by two. Go out. So we may sometimes ask ourselves, what is my part in the mission? Now that's the question. Now we see in that passage what it says. He gives us our first instruction. He says, pray for more hands. You and I, once we committed our lives to Christ, in return, he said, go. He sent us out. We are the sent ones. But what he instructs us to do first is pray. Pray. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now, there's a couple of things there. It says, the harvest is ready. But it doesn't say the harvest that the workers got together is ready. It just says, the harvest is ready. That means the workers he's talking about did not have anything to do with the harvest. They weren't in charge. They didn't own the field. They didn't sow it. They didn't pull the weeds. You know why the harvest was ready? Because there was somebody else in charge. The harvest is ready because Jesus is in charge. That's his harvest. So when we're sent out there, we're not in charge. He's in charge. It's his harvest. It's his field. We're the ones that just go out there. He has sent us out there. But being in charge is a good thing. Not being in charge is a good thing. How many have been in charge of stuff? It's not stressful at all, right? There's no problems. Everything goes smooth. But imagine that. We just got to go. We're not in charge. We just go. He's in charge. A person in charge takes care of all the problems. Everything, the chaos, he takes care of it. We just got to go do the work. And I know that being in charge is very stressful, especially when you're in charge of people. You've got to get everything, especially if you're responsible. And I remember when I worked for the railroad, I was the last guy. I was the inspector. I was the last guy to go over their job. They hated me. You think I'm bad here? When I know you're getting paid, it's worse. But you know what? Since I made the final run and I called that good, if something happened, that was on my call sign. I'm the one that got the days off. I'm the one that got the fine. So I was like, I'm not here. I said, but then again, I go, you guys think about, oh, all we're carrying is freight. All we're carrying is grain. But somebody got to drive that train. You know you got an engineer, a conductor, and a brakeman in there. Something happens and they get killed. The responsibility is on me. I'm the last person through. But that's why it's so stressful sometimes. And things just don't go. But God is in charge. That is his field. When God is in charge, that frees us from the control, from the pressure, from the expectations. That frees us from that because God is in charge. He is Lord. But how many here willingly signed on to this? Said, God, you know, Matt, no matter what it takes, no matter what I got to do, I'm here. I'm committed. It's God's field. It's God's harvest. It's God's responsibility. But it doesn't stop there. He is Lord. He gives us everything that we need in His Word. What you go through, you don't go through just to go through. You don't go through your tests and your trials just because. That's for you to share it with somebody when you go out there. That's for you to tell your story. This didn't happen because it happened for me to share with you, to help you in your life. When you go your tests and trials, you go through them. We're going to go through them no matter what. It's just, if we don't obey, that's when things start going wrong. That's when the grain starts to rot and things just don't go right. We tend to slack off, get lazy. But why? Who prays for more workers? Who are the ones that pray? The ones that are watching, the ones that don't know where they're part. It's the ones that are working that pray. But it's only because they can see the abundance of the harvest. And they can see if we don't get more help, the grain is going to rot. We need more help. We need to pray for God to send us more help. Why? Because there's souls out there that are dying each and every day. Every second, somebody passes away without God. We need more workers to reach them before they're gone. That should be our prayer. We need to get desperate for more workers. No matter what they can do. Whether they're going to carry water, carry baskets, whatever they're going to do, but they could be working, helping, saving the lost. We need some more hands in this mission. Number two, he instructs us to go. We tend to jump into the part that says, I send you into the wolves, that kind of were, but he didn't, that wasn't the first thing he said. First thing he said was, go. He commanded us to go. Just like sending the 12 on their first journey, he commands us to do the same. He sends them like he sends us, you know why? Because he trusted them. And he trusts us to go out. We have been empowered. Like I spoke a few months ago. Remember who you are. We are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. We are his missionaries. We are his power. We're his message. That's who we are. That's why he says go. Sometimes we don't have to speak a word. They see what's going on in our lives. And that speaks volumes to them. So how can you walk and be so happy when you're going through this? Especially those that know you. Because our lives speak louder than sometimes our words do. But you got to look, if you read the chapter before, you'll see that the same disciples that he sent out, they were arguing in the chapter before. They didn't have it all figured out. They didn't go to Bible college. They didn't go to CLC. They didn't have the theology major. They didn't have it. Sound like some of us? They didn't have it. They just went. They were just ordinary followers of Christ. And people who heard Jesus speak, they just gave him their all. All we got to do is we got to give it a try. Give it a try. Sometimes, well, my I'm speaking for myself. I make some things a little complicated for myself. But it shouldn't be that complicated. All we got to do is just go. Go. And just show them what God has done for us. And like me and Pastor have been talking before one Sunday, and we're trying to grow the Spanish. So what do I do? What do you want to ask them? And all he told me was just tell your story. Tell your story. How you got here. What God did for you. And that's all we got to do. You got a testimony of how you got here. It doesn't matter if you were born into the church. You still got a testimony. That's a testimony in itself. Because that's a blessing to be born and raised in the church. When I was growing up, that was my thing. I don't have a testimony. I've been in church all, but now that I've gotten older and I look back, I said, no, I do. Because a lot of my friends weren't raised in this. And I see a lot of people now, it's like, it was a blessing. But that in itself is a testimony for somebody. We can't make things complicated for ourselves. Number three is the danger and the dependence. Now, I read all those verses 3-8. Just the whole point of those two, between those verses, is just danger and dependence. The lambs and the wolf thing, all it's talking about is what to take, where to stay. But really, what it's talking about is danger and then dependence. Our society now is the opposite. We teach safety, personal independence. Because what crazy person would send an innocent person into a den of wolves? Into the wolves. Who would do that? Who would do that? But you got to see. Because here, it's all about we want a safe community where everybody can be comfortable and be themselves. But remember, Jesus says, I'm sending you out as lambs among the wolves. Because you know why? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. But isn't the shepherd's job to take care of the sheep? Isn't that the reason why a shepherd is there when they have a flock of sheep? To take care of the sheep? To make sure they don't get out where they're not supposed to? And I was really thinking, I said, man, this stuff is backwards. He's sending the lamb into the... Let me tell you the reason why he does that. You know the reason why Jesus did that? And he said that? He said, I'm going to send you out as a lamb? Because our mission outweighs the dangers. What he calls us and is sending us to do outweighs the dangers that are out there. Why? Because that... is a situation of life and death. Our mission is something of life and death. And to that's so true. Because when you step out of these doors, what you say, what you speak to a person is a matter of life and death. And if we don't speak it, what God has put in us or done for us. And that person who is out there is looking for a word. Everything that we go through, everything that you go through, it's hard. It's not easy serving God. But you know what? All that doesn't compare. The mission outweighs everything that I have to go through. God, he sees your needs. He sees your wants. And I go, God, why do we have to go through all this? But it's like, Pastor, we got to turn some things around. The way we think, our mentality has to change. I'm concerned about my house, my car, my... But then God's like, just trust me. Just do what I called you to do. Go out. Because that is more important than what you need right now. And what you want doesn't compare to what they need. Because the importance of the mission outweighs the danger. And Jesus' instructions are all about dependence. The sent ones were not to spend years of preparing, getting everything ready. He didn't say pack all your stuff and then move on. They were to go and just accept what was offered to them. Why? Because he wanted them to trust in him that he would supply all their needs. Because he's a provider. Can you imagine that? The 72 are right there. Jesus finishes telling them what to do. Can you imagine if he asked them, anybody have a question? After he told them, don't take nothing, don't take any more sandals, don't. How many would have been, I have a million. I have a question. But when those 72, when they went out, they didn't question it. Because you know why? We read in here, we know what happened. As a result, they went out. They went to the houses. They went to the cities. And wherever there was somebody who needed deliverance, they were there. They prayed them through, and they were delivered. They came up to people who were demon-possessed. They called on the name of Jesus, and the demon fled. That's when they came back and told Jesus, we did all this in your name. The same thing that they could do, he's given to us. We don't have to be scared when we stepped out of these doors, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When we step out of these doors to go and spread the gospel, that's what it means to be Christian, Christ-like. But not only that, we're his representative. We can do what he does. Because once we have that Holy Ghost within us, God just says, here, you can do what I can do. You can go out there and pray for the sick, and they're going to be healed. Those that are bound with chains, they're bound in their mind. You go pray, and they're going to be delivered. You don't have to be somebody in power, somebody in position, somebody important. You're here because he chose you. He called you. He transformed you. Why? For the mission. And it's just, there was people whose lives were just miserable. How many came from a life like that? Of chaos, of problems. When you were out in the world, when you didn't know Christ, or even if you knew Christ, it's not a good life to live. You're miserable. But they went out there, not with an attitude of, what are we going to get out of this? But they went out because they were obedient and just of going and sharing the gospel, no matter the dangers. Now, the whole message of this, the last three verses, was just to spread the good news that the kingdom of God was near. And it's the same today. As we go out there to love on people, to serve them, to be an example of what God has done for us. Yes, there are many dangers. There are many tests and trials that we are going to go through. But the mission outweighs them all. The results of one person coming because you impacted their lives is so rewarding that no matter what I had to go through, no matter what I had to suffer, that was worth it all. That was worth the nights of crying. How am I going to do this? God will provide. All we have to do is go and trust. Trust Him. And just speaking of myself, it's just one day I was saying, God, we need this, we need that. But He's like, change the way you think. So I do what I do, no matter what I'm going through, because I've come to realize that the mission outweighs my problems, that the mission outweighs all my health issues. The mission outweighs the danger that is set before me. All I have to do is, God, I'm doing this. I'm trusting in You. I may not have it all, but I know You're going to supply what I need. I know You're going to give me what I've been missing. But it's just, we have to go. And don't be scared, because He is there. Now, if you all stand, we were all called for this. And I just go back to Sunday. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I had called my friend to come and interpret for Pastor. And Friday, I know Friday he called, and he had to stay at my uncle's church. They got two interpreters, and the other one that was going to do it that day, he got sick, so he had to stay. So I had to retold the Spanish that we would have somebody. I go, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to do it, God. But You're going to give me the strength, and You're going to give me the words. Because when was it, Friday we went? Friday, me and Brother Manuel, we went. And I told you a couple of Wednesdays ago, I was going to go visit the brother. His name, Jesus Ramos. He is the brother of the sister from Mexico that I had told her. Anyway, and we went over there. And I was telling Brother Manuel, I go, I just don't know what the type of person he would be. I don't know how he's going to, if he's going to accept us or what he's going to do. And once we got there, we have to go. I have to go. So we went. And we got there and we parked. And we got out. And he had just gotten home from work. And as we got out of the van, he came. We introduced ourselves. But it's like, what do I say? But God just gives you the words to say. And He received us. No, He wasn't here on Sunday. But He did mention He was going to think about it. For me, I was like, that's a start. That's a start. But I know I have my foot in, because He goes, my sister's coming in May. They're coming down. And He goes, when they get here, I'm going to have them call you, because I want to get together. He says, so we can do something at the house, and you can come. So I go, God, thank You for opening the doors. But I'm telling you that it's our mission to love and to serve. God has put a man over us who has a vision. But even pastor's not in charge of that. It's God who's in charge of the harvest. But us, as Abundant Life Center, members of Abundant Life Center, I don't know if you feel or where you're at, but if you're standing on the edge looking and don't know, where do I fit in? Where can I help? Let me tell you, we can use your help. We can use your help. Because it says the workers, I don't think all the workers went and got the grain. There was some that did the weeding. There was some that did the watering. There was others that did different stuff to get prepared. So we all have a calling that God has prepped us, that God has put in us, for us to fulfill our mission of loving people and serving this world. I don't know how many can raise their hands right where you're at right now. And you say, just like myself, is this year, what I did last year is it's just out the door. I say, God, this year, and this is me personally, God, I want to step out from where I'm comfortable. I like just being out here. But when it comes for me stepping out and trying to talk to somebody, especially in Spanish, and trying to tell them of the word, that's a big step. But God gave me the words. And I'm telling you, take that step of faith. When you find somebody, go out there and tell them. Tell them, love on them. Do what you can do to be a servant to them. Because no matter what we go through, our mission outweighs everything. Let's just worship Him. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Well, we got a few minutes. Why don't you step out of your pew? Why don't we line down this front? Why don't we make commitments? God, I give it to you. My hands, my feet, my lips, God. A vessel, God, that you can use. I don't have much, God. But what I have, I give it to you. I surrender it to you, God. And I want to give out what you've given to me. Anoint my heart. Anoint my mind. Anoint my spirit, God. Give me wisdom beyond my understanding. Give me your favor. Give me your anointing. I've got family that needs this. I've got friends that need this. I've got coworkers, God, that are dependent on me. I've got neighbors waiting for me to tell them about you. Help me, God. Help me to go to the highways and byways. Help me compel them to come. Jesus' name. Help us, God. Oh, let the anointing fall.
I will be what you call me to be. Oh, I say yes. Lord, I agree. My desire passionately is to be what you call me to be.
God.
What you call me to be.
Hallelujah. What a word from God. What a word from God. You go into, I believe it's Luke, at the end of Luke. It may be Mark, but I believe it's Luke. Jesus appears. And the Bible says in the latter chapter that some doubted. They doubted it was him. And so he then gave them what we call is the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is what? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. I taught a Bible study Monday night to three or four at my dinner table, and I told them, I said, everybody is a preacher. And they looked at me and said, what? I said, because the word preacher is proclaimer. We all need to proclaim. And so the Lord changed their doubt by giving them a purpose. And their purpose was the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is go into all the world and proclaim. You've got a story to tell. The story of what God did for you. And if God can do it for you, He can do it for anybody. Because you were messed up. You were heading down a wrong one-way road. And it wasn't a roadway to heaven. But God turned your life around. Picked you up out of the miry clay. And set your feet on a solid rock to stay. We've got a story to tell. Thank you. Loving people. Serving our world. That's what we're about. We water. We plant. But God gives the increase. We've got a job to do now. Got 2 days. To get them here. Do what you can. Bribe them if you have to. Tell them you'll take them out for an ice cream cone at Big Kahuna. And it's not ice cream, it's yogurt. Get them here and God will do the rest. God bless you. Find 2 or 3 people. Love on somebody. We'll see you Friday night, 7:30. Outreach 1 o'clock on Friday. God bless you. Thanks for joining.